2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1. If you're there, give me a big amen this morning. Amen. All right, it says, "And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was one of the house of Saul, a servant whose name was Ziba. When they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, and in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet." The title of my message this morning is simply Mephibosheth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, thank you for all the people that you brought to your house today. I'm so glad that all of them are here. Thank you for the victory that you gave us, Lord, on Tuesday night as 11 people made a profession of faith saying they trusted Christ as their Savior. And Lord, we saw over 150 people that received the gospel, and I believe we succeeded in taking that night away from the devil and giving it to you. Father, I pray that you help me as I preach today. You know I can't do this without you. I need your help. Be with the kids next door as Miss Sarah teaches them the Word of God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. So here's what takes place. Saul's son Jonathan and David were really good friends. And before the death of Jonathan, him and David made a covenant together that David said, Jonathan, if I live and you are killed for whatever reason, I will take care of your seed. And Jonathan said the same thing about David. David is now king of Israel. His kingdom is established. And now no doubt he is dwelling on those that he loved. He loved Jonathan with all of his heart. They were as close as two friends could be. Then of course Saul, although Saul had turned on him in his later years, David still loved Saul and reverenced Saul with all of his heart. And so it's broken his heart that they are now gone. And so now I'm sure David is thinking on him, and he remembers the covenant that he made with Jonathan. And so David asked the question. He said, is there anybody left of the house of Saul that I can show my kindness to, that I could show the grace of God to? And so somebody said, David, there's a Jonathan actually had a son whose name was Mephibosheth. Now, most of Saul's family had all been killed in battle in Jezreel, and so, but Mephibosheth was just a young child, and his nurse picked him up, and this story you can read in 2 Samuel chapter 4, but when the slaughter was taking place of the family of Saul, Mephibosheth's nurse picked him up and ran away with him to hide him, and she tripped and dropped him, and both of his legs were messed up, and he was lame, wasn't able to walk. There are doctors that believe and historians that believe that he probably broke both of his ankles, but for whatever reason, without the medical technology they had back then, Mephibosheth was now lame, couldn't walk. And so they took him to a place called Lodabar, where he was hiding. You know, whenever one royal family is no longer on the throne and another royal family is now seated on the throne, it's dangerous to be the previous royal family. A lot of kings would like to wipe out the entire bloodline to keep any possible threat from coming up. And so he's hiding in Lodabar. And so David said, is there anybody that I can repay my promise with Jonathan? Is there anyone alive from the house of Saul that I could show my kindness to?" And so one of them says, "David, there is a Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth who survived the massacre, and he's in Lodabar now." And so David has Ziba, who used to be one of Saul's servants. He said, "I want you to go, and I want you to find Mephibosheth and tell him to come before me." So Mephibosheth is there, can't walk. He's in Lodabar, and at a place where hopefully that he won't be found out. Ziba comes now straight from King David and says, "King David wants to see you." I'm sure that Mephibosheth wondered if this was going to be a death sentence. He just found out that the king has found out that I'm alive, I'm living. Somehow he found out about me, and so I'm coming now to more than likely be put to death. And so Mephibosheth comes before the king, and the king talked to him and said, "Mephibosheth, I want you to come live with me now. I want you to sit at my table. I want you to be one of my sons." Mephibosheth was blown away. He said, "My lord, the king, I'm a dead dog. I mean, who am I? There's nothing I can offer you. I can't help you farm. I can't be one of your hired servants. I can't walk. I'm lame. What in the world do I have to offer?" But see, the love that King David had for Mephibosheth was based off of the love that he had for somebody else. He loved Jonathan, and because of his love for Jonathan and for his father Saul, he showed kindness and his grace unto Mephibosheth. We all know, of course, that David is a type of Christ. And so I want to look at the story of Mephibosheth this morning, and I want to look at the king's grace. The king's grace. First of all, the king's grace sought him where he was. The king's grace sought him where he was. Look at verse 1. "And David said," y'all with me this morning? "And David said, 'Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?'" And so they found out Ziba said, there's one named Mephibosheth. And then verse 3, "And the king said, 'Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him?' And he said, 'There's Mephibosheth, who's lame on his feet.'" And so the king in verse 5, "Then the king David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar." The king sought, his grace sought Mephibosheth where he was at. He didn't wait around for Mephibosheth to come unto him. He went after Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was lame. He would not have been able to come unto King David because he was fallen. We told you the story that when he was a young child, he became a fallen man when his nurse was carrying him and she tripped and he was now crippled, and so he had no abilities. He couldn't come to the king himself, so the king went to him. He was undeserving, had nothing to offer the king. Do you get the analogy this morning? Well, you know that there was a time, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, that man was put in the Garden of Eden, and God said, "You're perfect. You can eat of any tree of the garden that you want to, except for this one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Adam and Eve, though, weren't content with what God had given them, and so Eve gave in to the temptation of the serpent, the devil. She took of the fruit, and from that moment, she gave some to Adam. Adam took of the fruit. From that exact moment, man became fallen. If you want to say it like this, we're born spiritually crippled. Yeah. We can't come to the king. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Right. You know, we see a lot of the Olympic games and the Olympic, and there was a time in school where during the Olympic season for PE, they set up these little Olympic things, and I remember the long jump they set up, and so they had a pit there, not a pit, but something to measure how distance we could jump and a line that we weren't supposed to cross. And we were running, and I remember looking at the distance and saying, "I want to go as far as I can." And I jumped, and boy, I thought I did good. But there was another teenage boy who was a lot older than me, and he ran, and he jumped as far as he could, and he landed way past the mark that I set. And so I determined I'm going to match him. And so I backed up, and boy, I ran as hard as I could and jumped as hard as I could, but I couldn't make it as far. I couldn't hit the bar that he set. You know, there's a lot of people today that are trying to hit a bar to reach heaven. Yeah. They think if I do enough good works, I can make it there. Or if I don't do a whole lot of bad deeds, that I can make it there. The Bible says the mark we have to hit is sinless perfection. Heaven's perfect. No sin can enter into there. And so people think by being a good person, I'll make it to heaven. By going to church, I'll make it to heaven. By putting money in the offering plate, I'll make it to heaven. And those are all good things that we have to do. But you know what you're trying to do? If you're trying to get to heaven by doing good works, you're trying to jump the distance that God can jump. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's impossible. I love the song, "He had to reach way down for me." You know, I was a cripple. I was undeserving. I couldn't reach up to heaven. If I tried as hard as I could, I wouldn't be able to reach. But the King came and sought me where I was. Aren't you glad for the grace of the King? When you couldn't go to Him, He came to you. We're coming up on Christmas season. I'm getting excited. So you start to see it in the stores. The music's going to start coming on soon. And there was a song, the Christmas song I heard a long time ago. And it told the story of a little boy who was watching these birds outside. And it was up north somewhere in the snow. And he was watching these birds and said, felt so bad for him. He said, "Daddy, these birds look so cold. Let's open the barn and let them come inside the barn and get warm." And so he said, "Okay, son." So he went down there and opened the barn, sat back and watched. And they wouldn't go inside. And he thought, "Well, it's okay. You can come inside. It's warm in here." But they just kept staying outside. And so he got an idea. He said, "Well, what I'll do is I'll go get some seed and I'll put the seed out so they'll come inside the barn." And they still didn't come out. So then he went and kind of made them a path. He'd put the seed out leading them from the snow. And those birds came and ate all the way up to the edge of the barn, but they did not go inside. And it broke the little boy's heart. And he said, "Daddy, I just wish that I could. There's no way that I can tell him. I don't speak bird." And he said, "I wish, Daddy, that I could become a bird so I could go down there and show them how they could get warm." And the daddy heard an opportunity and said, "Son, you know, that's exactly what Jesus did for us. I couldn't reach Him. I couldn't go to heaven. I'm a sinner. I fall short." And so Jesus took off His robe of royalty and stepped into our flesh. And He was born in a stable. And He zipped up that fallen mankind and became a human being so that He could show you and I the way. I was crippled and He came to me. I didn't deserve Him. And so we see that the King's grace sought Him where He was. He was a cripple, wasn't deserving, had no way that He could reach the King. But not only was He fallen, but He was far. The Bible says that He's in a place called Lodabar. Lodabar was way north. It was north of the Jordan River, out in the middle of nowhere, a little nothing town, a place where Mephibosheth and his nurse thought, "I can go there and nobody will know who I am, and I can kind of be hidden, and hopefully I'll be safe that way, because there's a new family that's got the throne now, and if anybody found out that I was a descendant of the first king of Israel, my life would be at stake." And so he's out here in Lodabar, but David goes and sought Him how He was, and sought Him where He was. And you know, before I got saved, I was so far from God. I was an enemy of God. The Bible says those that have never been born again, they're actually of their father, the devil. You're not a child of God until you're born again. And so, just like Mephibosheth was, boy, he was far away from God. That's where I was before I got saved. But God came, the King's grace, it sought Him how He was, and it sought Him where He was. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Yes, He came down to do miracles, and He came down to show Himself as God the Son. But the main reason He came was to look for the Mephibosheths that couldn't come to Him. Looking for the people that were falling short, that couldn't jump far enough. They couldn't be good enough. And that's what Jesus was doing, seeking and saving that which was lost. Well, we know the story of the parable that Jesus told of the farmer, the shepherd that was there in the field, and he had his 100 sheep with him, and then he found out that one of them wandered away. And boy, it broke his heart. And so he made sure that the 99 were safe there, and he said, "Y'all stay right here. I can't stay here. I've got to go look for somebody." And he went out looking for that one lost sheep. Jesus came here to seek and to save that which was lost. And the day that you got saved is because that shepherd reached down and found you and pulled you to a place you couldn't get. You were fallen. You were far. There was no way that you could get there. Boy, I've heard people that say, "Boy, I'd love to be saved. I think, you know, I understand, I believe in all of this, but I don't think I can commit to that." But you know, the King didn't look down and say, "I'm not interested in Mephibosheth. He's lame. He's got to be cared for the rest of his life. Nothing he could offer me. He can't work in my palace. He's lame." Yeah. That's not what the King said, did he? All right. You know, God wants you exactly how you are. You know, if I was going to get my life right so I could get saved, that would be like me trying to get better so I could go to the doctor. God wants you how you are. Now, He doesn't want to keep you how you are. His goal is to change you to make you more and more like Him. But He's going to look for you, cripple and all, and say, hey, where's a Mephibosheth that I can show my kindness to? Somebody that I want to pick up and bring him. So we see the first thing, the grace of the king. The king's grace, it sought him where he was. But secondly, the king's grace brought him to the house of the king. Look at verse 6. Look at verse, y'all still with me? Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Mephibosheth went from being this outcast, this person who's hiding, hoping nobody will find out that he's a descendant of the previous king of Israel. His life could be at stake, and he's living out in this nowhere place called Nodabar, to now he is eating his three meals a day at the table of David, the king of Israel. He brought him at David, the grace of the king, it brought him into the house of the king. Look at this. First of all, he's accepted into the royal family. Look at verse 11, the last part. It says, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Little Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth was right when he said, my lord the king, who am I? I don't deserve this. I've never earned it. You should feel threatened because I'm alive. My ancestors were the previous kings of Israel. I'm a dead dog compared to you, King David. But David said, that's not who you are to me. You're somebody that I love, somebody that I want to show kindness to. And not only that, but you're going to come sit at my table and you're going to be like one of my own sons. The grace of the king, he's accepted into the family of God. You know, the family of God is the greatest family in the whole world. Boy, I love God's kids. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. The communion that we have, the fellowship that we have. What an awesome family that we get to be welcomed into. One of my favorite songs, we have it on our hymnal. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family. What family? The family of God. The grace of the king sought him where he was. And they brought him into the house of the king. Who are you and I? I mean, who are we to get to be a child of the king? A child of the king. And now I get to sit at his table. And I get to be called one of his sons. And I get to have sweet communion with the best family that God ever put on earth. His family. A child of God. So he's brought into the king's presence. Not only is he accepted into the royal family, but now he has a relationship with the king himself. We read verse 11 that said, as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table. My table. To get to have a relationship with the King of Heaven. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to pray with him. He's waiting every single morning for you to get up. Maybe fix your cup of coffee or Red Bull if you're in my class, right? And open the Bible. Sit at God's table. And spend time with him. You ever felt like Mephibosheth? You ever felt like that? I mean, we're talking the creator of the universe, the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. Right. The one who said, let there be a firmament in the midst. The one who spoke everything we see into existence. Right. He can span the universe with his hand. Someone said they saw something that was so many thousands of light years away. You know how big that is? A span is the length from your pinky to your thumb. And God could span it with the universe. That being loves me enough that he wants to spend time with me. He wants to talk to me. He wants me to read the love letter that he wrote me. Yeah. He wants me to tell him about my day. He wants me to tell him about the issues and the burdens that I've got in my life. And he's waiting to answer those prayers. You know what the grace of the king did? Not only did it seek Mephibosheth out where he was, but it brought him into the palace of the king. And now he's got a new family. He's in the royal family, but also he's got a relationship with the king. But not only that, he's blessed beyond measure. Look at verse 7. Blessed beyond measure. A little nobody, a cripple. Now look at the life he lives. And David said, verse 7, and David said unto him, fear not, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan my father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Mephibosheth, I've got all of this land that used to belong to your family. It's yours now. You're not an outcast in Lodabar anymore. You're not a nobody. Now you're a landowner. Amen. You're a son of the king. You're going to eat at my table. Look at the blessings he's given. Look at verse 10. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till, talking to Ziba, shall till the land for him. And thou shalt bring in the fruits, and that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, my master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. And so the blessings that Mephibosheth is receiving, not only does he have a new family, not only does he have a new father and a new place at the table, but he's got new blessings. He said, Mephibosheth, all this land that used to belong to your family, now it's yours. And not only that, but you're crippled. You can't work it. I've got a plan. I'll get Ziba. And Ziba and all his family, they're going to work your fields for you and bring it all into you. Look at the blessings that he's been given. You know, we are so blessed to get to be welcomed into the family of God. The things that he gives us, things that we didn't deserve. God clothes us in his righteousness. I've got blessings and fruit that I could never earn myself. I'm crippled. I'm a sinner. By nature, I prefer things that are bad over things that are good, but I've been clothed in his righteousness and given things that I can't earn, right. Given blessings that I don't deserve. So the grace of the king, it sought him where he was. It brought him into the presence of the king. And there's a third thing. Lastly, the king's grace kept him forever. Look at verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on his feet. You know, my grandfather, I told you the story a few weeks ago of when he got saved. He was a lead guitarist in a rock band in Arkansas. Excellent guitarist. And everybody knew that Glenn Riggs was just going to go places. He was incredible. And the day he got saved, the Holy Spirit told him, he knew instantly, the music I'm playing does not honor God. Yeah. And so he went up to, they had a concert that night, and in Arkansas there was a tri-state gathering, and they were the band that was playing, and my grandfather said, guys, I got saved. Tonight's my last night. And they said, what? And he said, yeah, I got saved. And they started saying, oh, Riggs got religion. And they said, Riggs, this is just a phase. It'll pass. You're all excited about it right now, but it'll pass. I give you 1 week, Riggs, and you'll be back playing with us again. That turned into 2 weeks. And they said, Riggs, we'll give you 1 month, and you'll be back playing with us again. Yeah, we know about this religion thing. It's just a phase. It'll pass. There's no real lasting joy. You got to stay with us. That's where the fun is. And it turned into 6 months. 1 year, my grandfather said, I got up and played that night, and I hated it the whole time. And afterwards, I unplugged my guitar and walked off the stage, and that was the last time I'd ever done it. And every single, except for one, every single one of those boys that played in the band with my grandfather through the years, because Riggs was real. It's important that we have clean testimonies. My grandfather's been able to lead all of them to the Lord, but one because of his powerful testimony. That this wasn't something that was just a phase, and sometimes the world thinks that. You get religion, it's something small. You can't count on it to give you lasting peace. In fact, you do wrong, you could lose your salvation.
Yeah.
But that my king, when his grace found me, he said, you're going to stay at my table continually forever.
Amen.
Forever. Yeah. Jesus said that once you get saved, that he takes your soul, your eternal destiny, and puts you in his hand. There's people in this room tonight that trusted Christ as your Savior at Family Fun Night. And God puts your soul in his hand. Jesus, and he's holding it. Boy, Satan tries to pry his fingers open.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Jesus is just too strong for him.
Amen.
But then Jesus says, you know, just for safekeeping, my Father puts his hand on top of mine.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit seals it. Once you're saved, you can't lose your salvation.
Amen.
Because what did the king's grace do? It sought him where he was. It brought him into the palace of the king. And then it kept him there forever. I'm so thankful for the grace of the king. And we're going to end the message by looking at the response of Mephibosheth. What did Mephibosheth do? First of all, in verse 8, we see that he saw his unworthiness. He says, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant? Who am I? I don't deserve this. Sunday night, we watched a video that depicted very, very briefly. We didn't even touch the surface of the torture that Jesus went through. I don't deserve that kind of love. I don't deserve that kind of forgiveness. I don't deserve the blessings that He's given. I don't deserve the new family He gave me. I don't deserve any of those things. I'm just a nobody from Lodabar. And Mephibosheth said, Lord, I don't deserve this. What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? He saw his unworthiness, but then, number two, he accepted the king's offer. Verse 13, it says, he dwelt in Jerusalem, not in Lodabar anymore, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet. So now, the second thing that he did is he accepted the king's offer. You know, God has an offer for every Mephibosheth in the world. His offer is this: you are born in trespasses and sin. You've fallen short. If you die in your spiritual condition right now without being saved, you'll open your eyes in a place called hell. But I love you and I don't want you to go there. And so I sent my son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, paid the debt that you could not owe. All you've got to do is accept his offer of salvation and you can be saved and I can welcome you into the king's table. But so many people around the world, they see the offer and they say no. Why you would reject an offer like that? If Mephibosheth would have said, King David, boy, I thought you were bringing me here to kill me. Yeah. Well, sure is a relief to know that you're not. But truthfully, I'm happy in Lodabar. You'd say he was crazy. To turn down becoming one of the king's sons, owning all of that land, and boy, it being farmed for him and given to, you'd say Mephibosheth's crazy. That's what happens on a daily basis when the Holy Spirit knocks on the heart of somebody. Maybe as they're given a gospel tract and they look at it, God's gift of grace, they read it, I'm a sinner. Without God, my future is hell. Jesus died for me, paid my debt. All I got to do is believe in Him, ask Him to forgive my sins and save me, that's it. That's what the Bible says. I don't think I want to take the offer. That's crazier than Mephibosheth would have been. So what was Mephibosheth's offer? His response, first of all, he realized how unworthy he was. But the second thing he did is he accepted the offer. You know, if you're here today and you've never been saved, you're not sure heaven's your home, God's got an offer for you.
Amen.
All you have to do is say, yes, I believe. I know I'm a sinner. Will you forgive me and save me? Instantly, you're a child of the King.
Amen.
A child of the King. Don't try, boy, preacher, I'm not happy with where, God's not happy with where you are either. He wants to change you, but He wants to go to you as you are. So He saw His unworthiness and then He accepted the offer. And then thirdly, and we're done with this, the king became His whole world. Real quickly, flip over to chapter 19 of 2 Samuel. The king became His whole world. Now where we are in 2 Samuel chapter 19, Absalom, the son of David, tries to take the throne from him. David is forced to now flee from Jerusalem, and so David sends for Mephibosheth. But his servant Ziba went to Mephibosheth and said, David has sent for you. He's having to leave Jerusalem. He wants you to come with him. But you're lame. I'll go saddle your donkey for you and I'll be back. Mephibosheth said, okay, Ziba. But Ziba lied to him. And he saddled the donkey for himself and left Mephibosheth there in Jerusalem. And he went to King David with all of these. He took everything Mephibosheth owned. And he said that King David saw Ziba and said, where's Mephibosheth? Where's my adopted son? And Ziba said, Mephibosheth said that he's glad that someone else is taking throne. He said this is vengeance from his father's lineage. Broke David's heart. And so Mephibosheth got cheated by Ziba. Well, years later on, Absalom is killed and David comes back to Jerusalem. And when he comes to the entrance of the city, Mephibosheth meets him there. The story specifically says in 2 Kings chapter 19 that he hadn't washed himself or shaved his beard since David left. Broke his heart that he couldn't go with David. Loved David. And when David showed up, of course, what he was told was a lie. And when Ziba told him that he left, and David said, okay, well, you and Mephibosheth split his land. It's not his anymore. Y'all can split it. Well, when David shows back up at Jerusalem, he sees Mephibosheth and he walks up and says, why didn't you come with me? I sent for you and you, after all that I did for you, you said that you were glad that I was being kicked out of my throne because it was payback from your father? Mephibosheth said, Lord, that's not true. It broke my heart when you left. I was told by Ziba that he was going to saddle my donkey, but he left me. And I'm a cripple and I got stuck here. And look what takes place here in 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 24. Y'all still with me this morning? We're almost done. In Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, I still hear pages turning. 19:24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. And he had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day that the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. He lied about me. But my lord the king is an angel of God. This is what I think about you. You've been the answer to my whole life. You're my world. My lord the king is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. He said, David, I've been lied about, but I understand your frustration. Whatever you feel like you need to do, I understand. For all my father, verse 28, for all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king, yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thy own table. What right therefore have I to cry any more to the king? He said, King, I don't deserve what I've been given. All of my father's house are dead. It's because of you that I was given what I was. I'm in no position to defend myself. Whatever you feel like you need to do, I understand. Look at verse 29. And the king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba divide the land. He said, Mephibosheth, it's past. What's done is done. I understand. But I've already told Ziba that you and him could share. But look what Mephibosheth says in verse 30. This blew me away. Mephibosheth said unto the king, y'all reading 2 Samuel 19:30, I want you to see this. Look what it says. Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all. This doesn't make sense. This was his father's property. The land that he was given when he became an adopted child of King David. And David said, Mephibosheth, I've given half of the land to Ziba. And we don't know what David was about to do. He might have been about to take it all back. But before he could say that, Mephibosheth said, He can have it. Look at why. Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house. He said, King David, I don't need the fields. I don't need the blessings. I don't need the crops. You're alive and you're back. And that's all I'll ever need. He said, I love you. If it weren't for you, I would be a dead dog. You've given me everything that I have. I don't need the blessings. If I've got you, I've got plenty. You know what you and I were before Jesus found us and saved us? Boy, the people that are like Mephibosheth say, Lord, let the world have all the possessions. Whatever you've given me, great. If I don't have any other blessings, if I never have the home that I'd love to have, if I never have the car that I'd love to have, as long as I've got you, that's all I'll ever need.
Amen. Yeah.
There was a man who was very, very wealthy. His son went overseas to war. And his house, he lived in a mansion, a huge estate worth billions of dollars. And he loved art. And so there was a man that brought him, a young man that knocked on his door one day. And the butler answered the door and he said, I'm here to see the master of the house. And so the master welcomed him in and he came inside and said, Sir, I've got a painting I'd like to give you. And he said, Now, I know that this painting can't compare with the paintings that you have. I painted this myself. And he said, Sir, this is your son who gave his life overseas for me. If it weren't for him, I would be dead today. And said, I painted your son and I want to give this to you. And that became that rich man's most prized possession, his favorite painting of all of the famous paintings he had in his house. That became his favorite painting. Well, the day came that the rich man died. And that was his only son who had died now, so we had no living heirs, and so everything was put up to auction. And so the auctioneer was there, and he began the auction, and it was famous. I mean, there were millionaires and billionaires from all over the world who had come to this auction to get this man's painting and the furniture and everything that he had at his estate. And so the auctioneer got up and said, okay, for the first piece that we are giving away, that we are auctioning away, it's a painting of the owner's son. And so they held up the painting, and people started to get angry. And so we didn't come from across the sea to auction for one of this painting here. This is a nobody. We want the other stuff. And he said, well, my orders are to auction this one off first. And so people were frustrated. They didn't want to buy this worthless painting. And so there was a man in the back who held up his hand and said, $5? Because everybody started laughing. What's he doing at an auction like this? And so he said, $5 at this auction? And then the people were angry and said, just give him the painting. Move on to the other stuff. And so that man had his hand up and he said, $5 going once, $5 going twice, sold. That man was on staff there at this house and grew up with that boy that died overseas. And so he said, $5 going once, $5 going twice, sold. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. This concludes the auction for today. And when he did that, everybody started, it was an uproar, and they said, what do you mean? And he said, here's my instructions. He who takes the son gets it all. You know what Mephibosheth understood? I don't need the fields.
Yeah.
David, I don't need the fields. I don't need that. I've got you.
Yeah.
I've got you. What else could I want?
Amen.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the grace of the King who found me where I was. He brought me to the palace of the King, and He's going to keep me there. And when I've got Him, that's all I need.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
Good.
This message is for two different types of Mephibosheths this morning. You might be here today, and you're still in Lodabar. You've never been saved. The King has made you an offer. The question is, will you take His offer, or will you stay in Lodabar? You could come down today and we could show you how you could be saved and you could leave this building today a child of the King, knowing that heaven will be your home one day.
Right.
But it's also for the Mephibosheths that have already taken His offer and you're a child of the King. You know what He's done for you. Have you made Him your world? Is He sufficient? Is He enough? Or are you saying, well, I want the fields. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying the blessings of God. But I want to get to the place in my spiritual life where the King becomes my entire world,
yeah.
Where if all I had was Him,
Lord,
that would be enough.
Lord,
Mephibosheth, let's pray.